Okay, this morning we come to the last talk in our series on one gospel and one family from Galatians, which has helped us to understand what Paul taught to the church in Galatia. We've seen that Paul stresses all the way through his letter that it's by grace, but grace through faith alone that we are saved, and by faith alone that we are to live out our new lives in Christ in the freedom of the Spirit. He strongly contests the way in which the Galatians were being told by some people who said that you had to become a Jew before you could become a Christian, which meant that they also needed to keep many of the Jewish laws and rituals, especially circumcision. We come today to the last few verses of this letter, where Paul is recapping and underlining the most important part of his message to the Galatians. So it's Galatians 6, 11 to 18, if you have your Bible with you or your electronic version. So let's read this together. See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised keep the law, yet they want you to be circumcised so that they may boast about your circumcision in the flesh. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, to the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your word. Lord, we pray that you will open our hearts this morning to hear your message. Lord, we just pray that we'll go away from this place renewed, transformed, ready to do your work. Amen. How many times do we hear these words leaping from our televisions or newspapers? Hey, look at me, look at what I've done. Every day there'll be a headline or a news item about someone who has done something that they want to tell us about. But are they sincere, or are they just boosting themselves up and boasting about what they've done? Will what they have done have an effect on us? Are they just trying to make a good impression on us so that we'll turn to them and try to copy what they're doing? In today's jargon, these people could be called influencers. People putting themselves in front of us so much that we think we should do what they do. Wear what they wear. Go to places they go to. And in fact, become just like them. They're leading us on a road that they're travelling and want to take us with them. But why? Is it because we're supposed to like them or what they say and boast about? Are they to be role models for us? This can be a slippery path. Should we not think before we're swayed their way? Many years ago, a name that was known the world over was Cassius Clay, better known as Muhammad Ali. His catchline in almost everything he said was, "I'm the greatest." This is what he said about saying that he was the greatest. "I said that even before I knew I was. I figured that if I said it enough, I would convince the world that I was really the greatest." It doesn't do us any good to boast about what we've done or said. People will judge for themselves about us by what they see us doing and saying. Paul, writing to the church in Galatia, wanted to underline to them, right at the end of his letter, that they must fix their eyes and focus only on Jesus and what he did on the cross. In verse 12, he refers to those who want to impress people by means of the flesh. Paul is referring to a group of people called Judaizers, who were Jews, but they were preaching a false gospel made up of bits of Judaism and bits of Christianity. This was basically telling people that their salvation was assured by doing works, following rituals and rules, rather than purely by the salvation in Jesus and what he had done on the cross. Paul stresses this fact in Galatians 2 and 21. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. And in the Message version of the Bible, it puts it this way. If a living relationship with God could come by rule-keeping, then Christ died unnecessarily. The Judaizers were trying to convince Gentiles who had become Christians that it wasn't enough to trust Christ alone for salvation. They wanted them to believe that salvation consists of faith in Christ's atoning work on the cross, plus keeping the Old Testament laws, so that in addition to having faith in God and Jesus' death and resurrection, they must also keep the Jewish laws. They wanted to impress the other Jewish leaders how many Gentile Christians they could coerce to being circumcised. They thought this would make them look good in the Jewish community. You may ask what motivated them to do this. In verse 12 it says the only reason they did this was to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. They knew that in the eyes of the Jewish leaders and the Romans, the truth of the cross was offensive to them, as they saw it as undermining their authority. Therefore, to mix it up with following certain rituals like circumcision enabled them to avoid persecution, as they would agree that their salvation was partly dependent on human effort and not solely on the cross of Christ. In verse 14, Paul brings his readers to realize, as he sums up in a short few words, that the only thing he would ever boast about was the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 15, he states the fact that circumcision or uncircumcision meant nothing. No rituals or rules had any meaning. The only thing that counts is the new creation. In some Bible versions, the word boast in verse 14 is replaced by to glory in, which is actually the meaning of the original Greek word used. This helps us to understand more what Paul is saying. And it's useful in the Amplified Bible. This verse 15 is translated, but far be it from me to glory in anything or anyone except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, through whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Paul also refers to the truth that there is only one path to salvation in Galatians 5 and 6, when he said, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Paul's focus was totally on Jesus and the cross. Now, he knew a lot about the world and what it meant to people. He, of all people, had plenty to boast about regarding his earthly achievements. He had been a highly qualified Pharisee, but he didn't boast about this. Rather, he did everything he could to give glory to Jesus Christ. He says in Acts 22, I am a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city. I studied under Gamaliel and was thoroughly trained in the law of our ancestors. I was just as zealous for God as any of you are today. Now, Gamaliel was Paul's teacher, and he was a highly respected and influential Pharisee and an expert of the law in the Jewish religion. He was also a key member of the highest Jewish council called the Sanhedrin. Paul had been in the equivalent of a top-class Oxford University, but now considered all of that as nothing. He says in Philippians 3, "If someone else thinks they have reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ." There's a song we sing, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross," and it draws out these lines in one of the verses. "Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my Lord. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood." Paul was now true to Jesus and following the new life that he'd been given by him. We have the same reasons to rejoice in Christ. With this in mind, what does our new life in Christ bring us? Acts 4:12, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." There it is, plain and simple. All else fades away when we grasp the truth of this verse. No one and nothing else can give us salvation. It's only through Jesus, not through rules and rituals. We draw all our strength in Christ from and what he has given us by dying on the cross for us. It's the only aspect that we need to give us power and stability in our lives. Salvation through the cross of Christ is fundamental to us, becoming a new creation in him. It's only found in Jesus. This salvation brings us the certainty of eternal life. Now, when we have this salvation, we will receive the Holy Spirit, who will help us to have boldness. Acts 4:31, it says, "After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly." Now that happened as the early church believers were gathered together, praying after Peter and John had been released from the Sanhedrin. We can be bold for Christ in everything that we do. He has given us his power through his Spirit to live for him and to stand up for him. The Holy Spirit will give us the words to say and will enable us to be bold in each situation that the Lord puts us into. With our new life, we will want to be obedient to God. John 14:21, Jesus says to his disciples, "Those who really love me are the ones who not only know my commands, but also obey them." This is not because we have to, but because we want to. The amazing truth about Jesus, what Jesus has done for us, should endear us to love him and to develop a personal relationship with him. We will want to obey what he says and what we read in the Bible, so that we're in tune with him. We'll want to follow the ways of the Lord and not those of the world. Our faith in God is certain and sure and will help us in our walk with Jesus in our Christian life. When we consider all that Jesus has done for us, it's no wonder that Paul said that the only thing he would boast about or glory in is the cross of Jesus. We too can have glory in what Jesus has done for us. And this can fire us up to go out and live our lives for him, so that the world can see that we are different, that we are new creations and beacons of light for Jesus wherever we go. Jürgen Klopp, a most successful German football manager, currently managing Liverpool Football Club, doesn't say, "Look at me as I'm great, look at what I've achieved in the world of football." But he does say that Jesus is the most important person the world has ever known. Why? Because when Jesus took all of our sins and was nailed to the cross, that was the most decisive thing that ever happened, because it changed everything. And he goes on to say, Jesus dying for the sins of others was the greatest act ever. He directs people's gaze from himself in football to Jesus. Yes, we can make a good impression on others, but it should be the impression of Jesus on our lives, because our sure salvation comes from Christ alone. He is the greatest person of all time. He has given us the ability through his Spirit to go out into the world as new creations and beacons for him. The Voice version of the Bible translates verse 15 slightly differently, which I think is well put. Let me be clear. Circumcision won't save you. Uncircumcision won't either, for that matter. For both amount to nothing. God's new creation is what counts, and it counts for everything. Through God's grace, we have been set free and set apart as new creations to love and serve the Lord. Nothing else matters. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you of what you did on the cross for us. We thank you and praise your name that we can have eternal life through your death on the cross for us. We thank you for our salvation. We thank you for the faith that we can have in you. And Lord, we just pray that you'll help us to go out to be beacons for you, to know that we're new creations in you, and that we will glory in the cross, your cross. And we thank you, Lord, for your overwhelming love for us, that you died for us, that you forgave us our sins on the cross, and you've given that opportunity to have eternal life with you. We praise you, Lord. Amen. We invite Lydia and the Melody and Chantel back as we're going to sing that song that I commented on earlier, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.